adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew in Montreal. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Drew, you out? You're out in, are you in Montreal? All right. Well,
he's in a dumpster in the alley.
I didn't know if it's, well, see, Drew could have been nodding because that's his usual approach to radio. A lot of hand signals, a lot of semaphore, a lot of nodding and
third
shaking his head. Seth Green, that is the voice of Seth Green, who you hear in the studio.
And I am ready to dispense some love advice.
Well, before you dispense some love advice, I'd like to dispense a little ass kissing. First off, just crazy coincidence, saw the Italian Job today.
Oh, you did?
This afternoon.
Oh, yeah, they re-released it this weekend.
Oh, they did?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why I saw it.
Yeah.
I didn't even know they re-released it. It was just one of those movies that I wanted to see. I never got to see it, and then it was still there.
Yeah, that was kind of the theory, was that there were a lot of people that hadn't seen it yet, and it made enough money that it made it worth them re-releasing it. So
yeah, well, me and the eight people that were in the theater were excited that it came back, but it was, you know, it was like a 2:10 showing in Hollywood. But
oh, really?
You were great in it.
Thank you.
Probably the best part about it, and it was a good movie. I enjoyed it.
I liked it, too. I had a really good time, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was down with that. And also, the Family Guy re-released or released or or syndicated
Seth
or whatever.
Seth Green has worked nonstop since he began in the business.
This is,
that was from?
That was you on this show reading your bio as your character from the Family Guy.
Wow, that's really silly.
Yeah, that was, but it was funny.
That is funny.
The Family Guy, here's the deal with the Family Guy. I told everyone this was a really funny show when
right.
it was on Fox
right.
once upon a time, and then it went away, and now it's coming back on this like Adult Swim.
It's on the Cartoon Network.
On the Cartoon
yeah.
Network, and now everyone's coming up to me telling me how funny the show is, and mm-hmm. I was like, I told it was funny 3 years ago when it was on Fox. You should have watched it then. It'd
or
still be on the
Fox,
air.
Yeah.
But there seems like, I think they're going through them sort of chronologically, and we're up to like a year and a half or 2 years ago or something like that. I don't know how many episodes were done.
It was four seasons, so what is it, about 23 per season?
It could be, yeah. I mean, it seems like there's quite a few.
What is that, like 71?
Well, not four, because now we're into like 80-something.
What's that?
We'll do our math off the air.
I'm not good at it, yeah.
Drew, are you there? No. Drew is still in Montreal. Drew is doing a film with the Olsen twins in Canada where he plays their dad. And every time I mention that to somebody, they think I'm kidding.
Yeah.
But I am not kidding. I could not make this up.
I'm just so curious how that offer came through.
Well, here's what I have a few theories. And naturally, Drew could not verify any of them because he has no idea how this offer came around. But I have the theory. They're 17 years old. I figured they would watch us on MTV when they were like 13 and a half, and it was naughty to stay up late and watch. They probably have a crush on Dr. Drew, as all 13-year-old girls do.
Most girls do.
He does look like them a little bit in a sort of a plain white, you know, homogenized kind of way. And he's about the right age, and he's actually a doctor, and they wanted a doctor to play the role. Or he plays the role of a doctor in the movie. So
these are all
probably,
good theories.
Yeah, these are good theories. And I don't know what the fourth theory is, but maybe it has to do with the devil. That's the only thing I could think of. But anyway, here's the last theory. The last theory is they're not great actresses, and they don't want anyone who's a good actor in their movie to make them look like bad actresses.
Oh,
and
really?
Drew is just bad enough to make you look good as a performer. And you should keep that in mind, too, for your next roles.
But yeah.
No one has ever seen him act, even when he's acting. He's that bad.
I always like to surround myself with inferior performers to make me seem brilliant by comparison.
It's like why all chicks should have fat friends. It's the exact same theory. Party Monster is the name of Seth's new movie, which is coming out September 5th. That's this Friday. And this is a movie. It's got Macaulay Culkin on it. I'm never going to get Wilmer Valderrama, we know, from That 70s Show. And how do you say Chloe's last name?
Chloe Sevigny.
Sevigny.
Yeah.
And it's explain the movie. Because it's been in, like, I saw it. I saw it reviewed like 3 months ago or something, and I saw a thing at Sundance and everything.
Yeah, the Berlin Film Festival. It got taken around to a bunch of film festivals before it got picked up for distribution. And it's a movie about the rise and fall of the club scene in the early 90s of New York nightlife. And there was a kid named Michael Alleg, and a lot of people remember this. He brought kids in really outrageous costumes on... the Jenny Jones Show and Geraldo and Donahue and all these talk shows and mm-hmm. touted themselves as the next big famous revolution. And they were, you know, kind of likened to Andy Warhol and all the celebutants of the early 80s, except without any of the talent or status. They just insisted that they were famous
mm-hmm.
and created a sensation around themselves. By the end of the clubs, it was a multi-million dollar business that had generated T-shirts, books, and trading cards. In Japan, it was insane.
And are you the title character? Or not the title character, but
Macaulay
are you...
Culkin plays Michael Alleg, who was the promoter who eventually abused drugs so much that he murdered his drug dealer.
Right.
Dismembered him and threw him in the river. In a box. It's a pretty graphic and horrific story, but it's also shockingly funny in the way that it's told, because this whole scene was full of energy and life and humor. And
are we talking about early 80s?
Early 90s, actually. When the whole scene first started, it was a fun thing. It was a place where misfits and outcasts could kind of coexist with everyday businessmen. You had people in... You had drag queens standing side by side with Wall Street brokers at the same club if they had the right attitude. And then, you know, as anything does, anything that doesn't have enough boundaries and anything that's excessive, it kind of imploded. And that's what the movie's about.
Yeah, it does seem like...
It sounds a lot more dramatic than it is.
No, but it does. I was thinking about like anything that's sort of decadent eventually can't support its own weight and something happens.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it was.
All right, Drew is still not there. Drew's in Canada. Listen, we don't need Drew to do a decent show. Believe me, we never did.
I've listened to the show plenty of times.
I'm just going to go through these calls. To make matters worse, our... phone screen is down too, so Anne is just writing them down on a cocktail napkin, and I'm just pushing the buttons. Jim, you're 18. See, we really could have just left the frying pan and now entered the actual fire. Jim is not there. Also, I've been on vacation for like a week and a half. I have no idea what's going on. And let me tell you something about me.
I heard we're at war.
That's my whole thing. It's like, I have no idea what's going on. Like, I'm like an Etch-a-Sketch. Like, if I stop doing what I'm doing for more than a day and a half, I just go back to Adam in high school or Adam when he was cleaning carpets. Like, I was trying to find the radio station tonight because I've been here 9.5 days. I'm blank. I'm nothing.
Starting over.
Yeah, I'm starting over.
That's a clean slate.
It makes life exciting, though. Every time I pull up to my house, I'm like, whoa, who's this? Wow, nice.
Nice place.
Sweet. This carpet cleaning is great. Cynthia? This is bad. Chris? Hey, Anderson. Oh, this is bad. Hey, Anderson.
Yeah,
Remember when we whipped up those like six best ofs?
It's already queued. It's already queued.
Yeah. We should have done seven. You know what I'm saying? All right. Do you have any idea what's going on with these phone lines, Anderson?
No? But I'm talking to like three people on the phone at once right now with other problems concerning Drew. Can you go to another call?
Yeah.
We haven't been able to go to a first call.
Yeah. I'm gonna
Jim again.
Seth and I are gonna sing the dreidel song in about 15 seconds. Hey, Aaron.
That was Jim.
Jim?
Yeah. Jim?
Yeah.
All right, Jim. Where are you calling from, Jim?
New York.
New York?
Yeah.
I'll fly out there and give you a BJ for helping us out tonight.
Okay, no problem.
I've never been so excited about talking to a listener. As you know, I look at the listeners as sort of an annoyance / hindrance to my rants on this show, but Jim, I'm glad to talk to you, buddy.
That's good to hear.
You're 18. What's up?
About a couple months ago, my first time I had sex with my girlfriend, and like about a week after that, she told me she was pregnant.
Wait, you said a friend of yours did?
Huh? No, that was me. I had sex with my girlfriend.
Oh, you did? Okay.
All right.
And about a week after, she said she was pregnant, and she lied about that, but like after that, I couldn't sleep for days and everything, and ever since then, I broke up for like a couple days, and she told me that.
Hold on. I know we needed Jim to sort of save us, but I'm already tired of him. I've had an ass full of Jim. Oh, Jim, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, Christ, no. Boy, that was uncomfortable.
Well, no.
Yeah. All right, so you can't sleep. You broke up with her.
I can't, I stop having sex, period.
Yeah, with other girls.
Yes.
How long have you guys been split up?
What was that?
How long have you been split up?
About a couple months. It was a couple days after that she told me she was pregnant.
How long were you guys together?
About 7 months.
Okay. Yeah. So what, you're depressed, you're anxious?
No, it's in the back of my mind. I always have that feeling that I'm going to get someone pregnant. And I used a condom that time.
But that's like a legitimate possibility anytime you have sex.
No, I just want to know, do I have anything to worry about using a condom?
Well, you have, yeah. But you have something to worry about crossing the street.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
You could get someone pregnant if you rape them, like on the island in between.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there's danger around every corner. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The condom is good. It's not foolproof.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It's probably the safest method aside from abstinence.
Well, here's what I know in Drew's absence. The pill is the best in terms of not getting someone pregnant.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Condoms work pretty good, but they do fail on occasion. And most of the time they fail because they're not used properly.
Right.
Yeah.
People put them on like Howie Mandel.
Yeah.
They try to pull it over their head.
Anytime you put a condom on Howie Mandel, you know it's not going to keep you from getting...
Oh, God, if I had a nickel for every time. All right, so now I have no idea what's going on with the phones because I just put Jim on hold, but it doesn't seem to be working too well. Anderson, any ideas? No. All right, I'm sorry.
This is more fun than any love lines I've been on.
Seth, it's too bad you're not in a band because right now we'd play a song.
A track from my new record.
Can we hear a cover from Seth's band?
I'm putting together a rap album, me and Britney Spears.
Oh, well, please finish it tonight and bring it in the next 10 minutes.
I'll do my best. We have to master it, though.
I don't know. Who's is anyone on this line? All right.
Hey, Adam, here's the deal. Yeah. You can't go to the calls at all. I'm going to have to do it all, but I'm talking to two people at once. So who do you want to talk to? Do you have written things in front of you?
Oh, listen, here's my take. There was a time in my life when I cared. But here's what I need, Anderson.
Yeah.
I need you to forget about whoever you're talking to. As far as Drew goes, he's yesterday's news. He's dead to me. Do you understand? He's like a girlfriend from high school.
Unless you can get the Olsen twins on the phone.
Right. I want you to hang up on whoever you're talking to, help me out with these calls, and then during the commercial in like the next 8 minutes, you can deal with Drew.
I'm down with that.
All right. And if it works out, it works out. And if not... Again, I'm the star of the show.
Hey, we're going to talk to Trisha. She's a single mom in Texas.
All right.
She's 25.
Trisha.
Yeah.
What's up?
What's up?
Single mom. What's up?
Single mom from Texas.
That's right, baby doll. You see, let me explain what happens when the wheels come off the wagon. It's not enough that they actually come off the wagon. The wagon has to drag and catch on fire because of the friction.
And it's surrounded by people with, you know, bows and arrows and guns.
That's what we got tonight.
We're to steal all our stuff.
Okay,
Trisha,
anyways,
what's up?
I'm a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty intelligent.
Sure.
But
yo, I can tell by your voice.
just because I talk Southern doesn't mean I'm stupid.
No. But anyways, it's a higher probability, I mean.
Anyways, I've got myself in quite a pickle.
Right.
Okay, about 10 months ago, I started seeing this guy. And I'm not from the town that I live in, so I don't know people like everybody else knows everybody.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this guy was a horse trader or whatever. Well, we date for a couple months, and the relationship gets pretty serious. Well, come to find out, he's actually a drug dealer.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. He went for, like, horse trader, I was like, okay, we're 150 years ago. Like, it's 1872. And then when she went drug dealer, I was like, pow, we're back to today.
2003.
Right.
Adam? Adam?
Oh, Drew.
I'm on the phone.
You're on the phone, Drew.
Yes, I know. This is lovely.
Yeah, what's happening, caller?
Okay. So I wanted to ask her a question. You're a RN?
LVN.
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 Yes. Way to go, Adam.
All right. And her boyfriend is a horse trader and a drug dealer.
Drug addict.
Right.
An HT and a DD.
I guess the horse trader thing just kind of faded out. But
my sister was with a guy who was a blacksmith, and he also did raves. So he had that same kind of range that your guy has.
So, wait, did he stop being a horse trader, or was that just some kind of elaborate cover? for the drug dealing.
It's still a cover up. But once I found out what he was all about, I was like, okay, I have to end this. I would lose my license. I've got three beautiful kids, and I don't want to jeopardize, you know, my life.
Sure.
Then it's kind of like, so I split up with him, and a couple weeks went by, and it turned into some kind of, it's like I'm addicted to him.
That's true.
When I see him, and I don't do the speed, they do the new drug ice.
It does the ice, yeah. Oh, this isn't over the horse trading?
Huh?
You're saying that it's the drug part that you object to?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That was
the horse
unclear.
Trading, I can handle the horse trading.
I see. Okay, but I would object more to that. But
it's the being an ice dealer.
Dealing ice. Okay.
But he doesn't just deal it, he does it.
Right. So okay. he's a horrible, unattractive man that you can't get away from.
Yeah.
Because you're compelled to him,
even though he's bad for you and bad for your kids.
I've got a list of things that there's that.
Yeah, but let me tell you what trumps all that. Your horrible dad.
Right. Exactly.
The attraction that is caused because your horrible dad trumps everything you have on that list.
Exactly. It creates a drive that you cannot resist, and unless you do something, get some treatment, go to 12-step, do something. It's going to be very difficult for you to stop this, or you're going to just find another guy that's the same or very similar.
And it has to do with my dad?
Yeah, where is your dad?
He's in bed right now.
In bed in prison?
No, he did go to prison. He was a teacher, and he retired early to manufacture and sell crack.
Your dad?
Oh, really?
Wait a minute. Oh, my God.
That is a really successful early retirement plan.
But it's shockingly so amazing, Adam. Are you clairvoyant? Are you reading a screen?
No. Well, let me tell you. I can read stupid people just like a traffic sign. It's easy.
I'm stupid.
No, not you. Not you. That was luck. I apropos to nothing, I'm saying I can do that with you.
I'm impressed.
All right, so
you have found your dad.
There he is.
Left a huge imprint on you that is the result of, has been highly traumatizing, and that trauma gets converted into attraction, and then here you are. It fits.
All right, so Tricia. How about, or Trish, how about a little Al-Anon or maybe a 12-step?
There you go.
I need to do a 12-step?
Go to Al-Anon.
Your dad,
just because it'll make it comical no matter what subject your dad taught, what subject was it?
He was over the education department at the Federal Correctional Institute in Fort Worth.
That is funny.
So he didn't have a subject that he taught.
Well, he taught everything. He was over it. He taught Spanish.
He taught at the prison, Adam. That's what's comical.
I see. All right. It was funny when I... Okay, remember your dad in prison? Okay. All right. Let me explain something to a lot of our listeners. Most people's parents did not do time. And now, it's not the overwhelming majority, but it's in the mid-60s, lower to mid-60s.
Of our callers, really?
Well, not of our callers.
Yeah, okay.
Of our callers, it's in the that's high 80s, I'd say.
Yeah,
but of most people in the United States, it's probably somewhere around half.
Yeah.
So you should be surprised when I guess your parents were in the joint. You should not take that. It's bad that doesn't shock you. All right.
Yeah.
Hey, Drew, where's your engineer?
Where is your engineer, Drew?
Hey, John.
I just called. I left him a message. What's going on?
They need to talk to you.
He's trying to manage.
He's calling you back.
The caller sounds so much better than you, Drew. This is so unacceptable. I can't take this.
Yeah. Well, I think it was just her southern twang that we enjoyed.
Listen, I want to get on the air here. Help me.
You're on, but you sound terrible.
Well, Drew, you want to get on the air. First, you got to get a tape. Then you got to get program director Kevin Weatherly's got to listen to it. And I'll try to put a word in for you, but so far, Dr. Bruce is the front runner. All right?
Well, if you'd actually speak to Kevin, that'd be great.
Who wants to talk to their boss? All right, where are we? Do I have control of the phones, or is that Anderson?
Anderson.
Hey,
Anderson.
Drew.
Oh, it's you, dude.
Hey, Seth.
How's it going, man?
Good to hear from you.
Nice to hear from you, too. Hey, my friend Hugh said to say hi.
That's nice. And I last time I saw you, you were raving about my crank anchor experience.
Yeah, at the Weenie Roast. It was fun. We had a blast.
All right, so who are we talking to now, and who has control of the board? Is that me?
Anderson.
No, Anderson said I do.
Oh. Okay.
And I'm going to push something. Cynthia?
Hello?
You're 22?
Yeah.
You want to know why you keep dating losers?
Well, I kind of know, but I kind of want to know what I should do about it, because I've been to counseling, but it's, like, I've overcome a lot of things in my life. Like, I was a heroin addict, and I stopped.
Let's stop with that. How's the recovery going?
Great. Like,
how long have you been sober?
Not a real long time, but I'm doing...
How long?
I'm trying to count, like, since December.
What was your sober date?
Uh-oh.
It was.
This is trouble.
Are you on
methadone? Let me ask Drew's next question. Who's your sponsor? Do you have a sponsor?
I do, but it's hard to contact her. Like, last time I went to the Alano Club to go see her, she wasn't there.
Look, are you on methadone or something?
No, I take antidepressants.
Are you taking some Ativan or Xanax or something like that?
No.
No addictive medicine, no Klonopin?
No, I've done that kind of stuff before.
All right. Well, listen, I'm amazed that you can be sober. You don't smoke pot?
No, I don't do anything. I can't.
That's good. That's great. That's terrific. But it's very difficult. It must be very depressing, too, if you're not actively engaged in your program of recovery. And you will do things. What?
I do go to meetings.
Yeah, well, good. But your program is sort of stalled out. You're not working with your sponsor. You will do things. Your brain will drive you to do things. All your brain is interested in is getting loaded. And so it will drive you to kinds of behaviors that give it a similar kind of stimulation, like extreme relationships and drama and gambling and shoplifting and things like that.
Right.
Are you doing all that stuff?
No, I'm not. Like, I started going to college, and I got my own apartment. I had a kid, 4 months ago, so...
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing, like, everything I can to better, like, my life so that he doesn't have a shit life.
All right. How about bettering my life by not using the S word on the radio?
Right.
Even though I have no problem with it, it's still...
Speaking of a problem, you know we're in a bunch of trouble in Canada for the Holocaust call?
Yeah, hold on a second, Cynthia. Jesus Christ. Yes, somebody's telling me about that. Oh, my wife said it was in... Trauma Log or the Recycler or the Pen Saver or something. I don't know what it was. I remember that phone call. We didn't really do anything. It was with Tom Arnold and all that kind of stuff.
It must have re-aired last week during the Best Of, Anderson, I guess.
No, that didn't happen.
Really?
Hmm.
It's weird. I mean, we were registering our outrage that the caller, who was a sex phone operator, did not know what the Holocaust was. That was what the call is about. You were kind of making fun of her for not understanding the horror and the reality of that event.
Yes.
And she used it in a way that was so inappropriate. It exposed her for what she didn't know.
Yes. it was very funny. It cracked me up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't care.
I don't think
you know. I mean, I don't care. I don't even know where Canada is. I didn't know we were on in Canada. Are we supposed to be on in Canada?
I guess so.
Are they just listening to something that floats over the border? Or are we actually there?
I don't know.
I've been to Canada.
Vancouver. We're not Vancouver.
I got shaken down by some Bull Dyke border guard over there, and I've had a bad taste in my mouth about Canada ever since.
I just spent like 3 months in Vancouver.
Seth said he hated it. He wanted to kill himself. All right. Well, listen, wait a minute. Let's get back to Cynthia real quick, and then we'll go to break. And Drew's in Canada right now. I'm sure the Mounties are closing in on you as we speak. but you got to then tell us about how the acting's going over there and the Olsen twins and everything. But Cynthia is, I'm not sure about the strategy of cranking out a kid in the middle of your spiraling life, but
wow.
Fine. You cranked out a kid. I'm sure dad's not around. And this is just a vicious cycle we can keep alive in this country. God bless you.
She knows what the problem is. Listen, she said it as much when she opened the call. She knows what the deal is. The reality is, though, she's got to get back with her sponsor. She's got to start taking direction. She's got to start working her steps again. And a lot of these choices will take care of themselves.
All right. And she does sound like she knows what she's doing. And she does sound depressed. But you're supposed to be depressed when you're getting off heroin, you're 22 and you got a new kid.
And you don't have a sponsor. You're not working with a sponsor.
You got to get a sponsor. I say like Virgin Atlantic or Pepsi or a big name like that. So we can really put some bucks behind your
T-Mobile's
sobriety.
A lot of promotion.
Which one? Huh?
T-Mobile.
Oh, well, yeah. T-Mobile's really picking up. And then there's all these foreign ones that I don't even know what they are, like Elf and Martini and Rossi and stuff like that. Seth Green in the studio tonight. Drew out in Canada. We're going to see if we can clear up our technical difficulties. Party Monster starts September 5th. It is out in L.A., New York, and Chicago. Limited release starting this Friday. And we'll be right back after this. Everybody, Seth Green in studio tonight. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew, who's in Canada.
Yeah.
Maybe we've worked out his technical difficulties. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Seth is in here talking about Party Monster, which is coming out in limited release in about 10 cities, most of the big ones. And that's coming out this Friday, and it's a real interesting-looking movie. I've not seen it, but I've seen it extensively reviewed, and Macaulay Culkin's in it, who was in our Loveline studio with somebody 8 months ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, his girlfriend.
Yeah.
I don't know who that was.
Mila, she's on the 70s show.
She's good people.
Yeah, she's a great girl.
Yeah, he keeps a low pro. How was that, Macaulay?
Weird? I adore the kid. He's honestly one of the... one of the smartest, most well-adjusted people I've ever met in my life. We've become really good friends.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How old is he?
He's 23.
And, Jesus Christ, like he's 80.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't look 80, but...
No, but it's something that we actually really have in common is that we both started in this business so young, and of course I didn't have the, you know, catastrophic astronomical success that he had, but
But he also had a catastrophic problem with his family. I mean, that's pretty rough.
Well, you could isolate it to his father. The rest of his family's pretty good folks, you know?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Although he's got a younger brother, seems kind of like a prick, actually.
Who's talking about?
I don't know.
He's got like five brothers.
One of them. The one who's like 15 or something. He was on Kimmel's show. He's a little prick. I don't remember his name.
Probably Kieran.
Kieran.
He was in that movie, Igby.
Seemed like a pain in the ass, that kid.
He's a really good, sharp kid.
I'm sure he's dynamite. Most kids,
it's that age. It's that age where you just...
Sure, everyone's like, a prick when they're
15. What are you rebelling against? What do you got?
Even I.
Everyone wants to be a prick when they're 15. Maybe so. You have to have a little juice enough to be a prick. Like, I mean, like, what could you rebel against when you're 15, Drew? Your mom... Mm. Oh, now Drew's gone.
No, I'm here. I'm thinking.
Your mom wanted you to carry your lunch in a white paper bag and you wanted to use the brown one.
I'm thinking more about my history teachers and things like that.
Yeah, but you couldn't do anything.
It's a different thing, though, because you can't equate the life that kid is having with you know, your average 15-year-old. This is a kid who got nominated for a Golden Globe, you know?
Yeah, I know. I just, like, it's still...
It's a different assortment of pressures and...
No, I knew Molly Ringwald growing up, and she was a pain in the ass when she was like, we should have set those two up. But... She was a pain in the ass when she was 16 years old. On the other hand, she'd been on the cover of Life and Time magazine at age 15,
yeah.
And I just discovered beating off and had like a participation trophy from a softball game I played 6 years ago. That's all I had to my name.
Was the participation trophy for beating off or for softball?
I like to think it was for beating off,
yeah.
But it had a picture of a guy playing softball.
You never knew
but
you could win an award for that.
It was confusing to me. Don't ruin it. Don't ruin it. The point is I'm sure I would be a mess and ruined if I was on the cover of Life and cover of Time magazine when I was 15 or 16 years old, too.
That definitely twists you.
I don't blame them, but I can still call them what they are. All right, so anyway, Seth out here, Drew over there. Where are we going, Drew? Do you have a board or am I doing it?
You're doing it.
I'm doing it?
You're doing it.
All right. Well, let's see if we can talk to somebody. Adriana. Met a guy on the internet. That always sounds like good fun. Adriana?
Yes.
You're 21?
I am.
You met a guy on the internet?
I did.
What's up?
Well, first, can I say, Dr. Drew, I have the deepest respect for you. I named my son after you. He's 8 months old.
Oh, my goodness.
Huh?
I moved. Oh, my goodness.
I did. Your name is Andrew, correct?
No.
Is it just Drew?
It's just Drew.
This is great.
Oh.
It's barely Drew. It's not even Drew.
Oh, it's not?
Well, Drew's his middle name, right, Drew?
That's true. That's true, but that's what I go by. I mean, listen, it's all the same. It's a gesture, and you probably like Andrew better. It's a prettier name.
Well,
yeah,
you
just name him Zach. Would have been just as close.
I named him Andrew Chandler, but we call him Chandler, so.
There you go. Nice.
Call him Doctor.
But anyways, I have the deepest respect for you, Dr. Drew.
Thank
and
you.
And Adam, you are a god.
No, thanks.
Can I say hi to Anderson?
That on the streets.
Can I say hi to Anderson?
Anderson no. is probably not here. He is struggling to get me on the air. He's like.
I give up. Screw it.
No, no, you don't give up. No, please. Please.
No, you sound great. I don't care.
Hey, Anderson.
Oh, Anderson, please.
Okay, listen. I'm going to name my turd after you if you don't ask your question.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, I met a guy on the internet. We've known each other for 3 months. We talk every day for at least a couple of hours, and we've really gotten to know each other. On the phone, or? Usually just like I am. We have talked on the phone several times, though, and actually he came up here this weekend and spent a three-day weekend with me and my family.
Was that the first time you ever met each other?
I'm sorry?
Was that the first time you met each other in person?
Yes, the first time.
All right. Do you guys have sex?
No. No, we're waiting till we get married.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's nice.
It's unconventional, and we both have children, but we've decided to do that.
All right.
So, anyways, we've been talking about marriage, and then it's like all of a sudden I'm kind of freaked out and wondering if I'm really ready for this.
How long have you known him?
3 months.
3 months.
What happened with your last relationship? Why did that go bad?
Because I got pregnant and he didn't want to be a dad.
Yeah, I've
actually called before about him.
Have you gone through a period of sort of hypersexuality in your life?
No.
No.
I'm living with my parents now, but I had moved out before and I got a boyfriend right away, but that was my baby's dad, and that was the only other guy I've been with. So.
All right. So listen, Adriana.
Mm-hmm.
This guy sounds like a life preserver to you, and maybe you to him. I mean, you guys barely know each other. You've had this semi-fantasy relationship over the internet,
uh-huh.
and you're talking about getting married.
Yeah.
Well, he's a really, really great guy. And
yeah, I'm sure he's a good guy. There's lots of good guys, and I'm sure you're a good girl, but that doesn't mean you should be seriously considering getting married after such a short courtship.
I know.
What's your rush? It feels a little desperate.
It's just that he's so far away, and we'll only get to see each other maybe, you know, every month or so. And it's
But that's not really a marriage.
You mean he's going to move? He's going to move out
to
Oklahoma?
No. If we didn't get married now, we'd only see each other maybe every 2 weeks, maybe once a month, you know?
Well, where does he live? You're in Oklahoma.
He lives in Texas. He's about 4 or 5 hours away.
Uh-huh. What's he do?
He is an engineer. He designs things to do with oil refineries.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the guy is this?
He's 27. And are you going? Would you move out to Texas?
Yes, to Texas.
Okay. Okay. How about this? How about you take it slow until at least the beginning of the year? Then you'll have a good 6 months under your belt. You can do that thing where you go, like when people go, "How long have you guys known each other?" You go, "We met in 2003."
Yeah.
You know, those cryptic answers, which
right.
makes people think, oh, well, it's 2004 now, so you guys must have known each other for a year, but it's really only 6 months because you met in the middle of 2003. You do that kind of stuff,
yeah.
and then you can do something. So you have no getting married, no even getting engaged or anything.
No,
just
I agree.
Keep the relationship going, and after the first of the year, you can, if it's still feeling good and going good, you can talk about it.
Okay.
That's a fine plan. In the meantime, don't get fat living at home.
No, I'm not.
You got to stay hungry.
Well, I'm still breastfeeding, so that keeps my weight down.
All right. And go on lots of walks and listen to some classical music.
Okay. I will do
All right.
that. Thank you
yeah,
very
good
much.
Good times.
You're
good
welcome.
I don't know if they allow that in Oklahoma. Do they have that?
What's that?
Do they allow classical music in Oklahoma?
Oh, I think they allow it. And I think we have to call that little paradigm, the Corolla method, you know, the walks and the classical music.
It's good for your head.
Well, you know, people, listen, exercise has stood up against antidepressant medication as an effective treatment for depression.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know it can't hurt. You know what I'm saying? Listen, if everybody went on a walk every day and listened to some Beethoven, they'd be a better person. That's all I know.
Yeah.
Thank you. Look, now you walk. And just think about your enemies and the people you got to kill when you get home. You plot. All right. So I'm going to jump back on the phones and let's talk to some dude here. Aaron?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
Your 16-year-old girlfriend wants to have sex.
Uh-huh.
And so do you.
Yeah. But I'm not too sure about, like, the laws and stuff and about statutory rape, and I just don't want to do something I'm going to get in trouble for later on.
Mm-hmm. So she's 16, you're 18, you're calling from Illinois.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. There. What's that, Drew?
Look it up there. Look it up. I mean, some states will give you a couple-year window.
Let me tell you what I have in front of me. I have Seth Green and a highlighter and Seth's keys. I don't have anything to look up.
All right.
I don't know where your crap is, Drew. But let me just go on a quick rant here. Aaron, you may want to, if you're not feeling ready and she's not feeling ready, then wait. And then go to your, like, local library or call your police department from a payphone or something and find out what the legal age of consent is. But we've talked about this 1,000 times. Couldn't we just go ahead and agree on an age of consent that was national?
Yeah.
And just sort of go, let's just take a vote. All right, let's take a vote. I'll do it in front of the Senate. It'll be like 9.
No.
Okay, only 4 people. Only 4 senators raise their hand. Okay. 10. Okay. All right. Good let's
four.
Skip ahead. 16. All right. Now I'm seeing some hands. Or should we just make it 18? Like,
what do you say?
18. Okay, yeah. You can buy cigarettes.
You can vote.
You can vote.
You can get drafted.
You can get drafted. 18 seems like a good number.
What
let's
people
just
don't
do
understand,
it.
Though, is or what they don't think of is that it, many states, it doesn't specify the age of the male. In other words, you can be 16. You can both be 16, but you're still breaking the law if you, at a 16, both of you at 16 have sex.
Right. But it really is, I don't know how many different combinations there are of laws regarding this subject when there should just be one, which is,
yes.
Look, if someone's over, you know, if someone's under this age, it's illegal, and if they're that age or above, it's fine. But it's different everywhere, and then it involves, yeah, the age of the guy and the age of the girl, and if they're both under or they're both over, one's over and one's under, it's a nightmare. And I don't blame everyone for being confused because we do this for a living and we can't tell the guy if it's okay to do it in Illinois.
That's why I only date grandmas.
That's smart. Plus, they
bake for you.
They bake. They know what they're doing. They're experienced. Like, you know, like 80 years experience having sex. So they really know what a guy likes, which is a 17-year-old, ironically. All right. Drew is in Canada. Seth Green is in the studio here tonight. He is promoting Party Monster, new movie coming out in limited release. But if you're in a city worth living in, it'll be there this Friday. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew in Canada. Seth Green is our guest tonight.
Is that was that Hot Hot Heat? Is that who that is? Or that?
I think so. Aren't they coming in here? Or were they just in here? All right.
They sound so much like bands from the early 80s.
I thought Hot Hot Heat was either in here or coming in here, producer Ann, or am I just making that up? Or where am I getting that? All right. Well, screw it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to throw us.
They'll probably be in tomorrow night. Drew?
Yeah. Can you hear me? You hear me on the air, can't you?
Yeah.
No, is that on the phone?
I don't know, Drew. Are you talking on the phone?
God, am I on the phone or am I on the radio? I've got two things going here. I'm trying to figure this out.
You're just multitasking it for us.
Oh, my God. All right. You're cool, Drew.
You're one of them there metrosexuals I keep hearing about.
You sounded fine before. I was getting used to you that way. Just leave it. You're cool.
Now,
all right, Seth is here, and Party Monster, name of his new movie, coming out this weekend, this Friday, limited release, so look for it. We will let's go to line 5. We'll talk to Eric. I think he has a question about the Family Guy. Eric?
Yeah, hey. I was wondering how it's coming with the movie that you guys are going to try and make, Seth.
I don't think that there's any specific plans for the movie. The show did really well on DVD, and they approached McFarlane about a direct-to-DVD movie, but I don't even think it's been written.
Really?
My almost 11-year-old kids have become huge fans of that show.
I just love you guys, you and Adam and Dr. Drew. I love you guys. I've been listening to you for a while now, since I was like 9, actually.
Thanks, Eric.
Yeah. My brother turned you on, me on to you.
Yeah. Who did?
My brother.
Okay. Yeah. Where's he now?
What?
Is he doing okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks.
All right, good times, everybody.
Wait, but you guys said that you guys were going to try and make one if you got enough money to.
Are you talking about the Family Guy movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's like loose talk about it. Fox is interested in producing it because the DVD did so well.
All right, cool.
But I don't think there's anything specific. You know, write a letter or something.
I'll tell you, it really gives me hope. It warms my heart when things like the Family Guy. Well, first I get angry that it gets taken off the air in the first place. But then my heart is warmed by the fact that people come around and eventually sort of respond to quality.
There was never a lack of fans for the show. It was the network exclusively didn't understand it. They canceled us twice, even though we won like 3 Emmys and would consistently win the time slot. And they kept shifting the schedule around. They'd say it was on one night and then promote it for another night and then pull all the commercials and show it on a Thursday when it was supposed to be on a Tuesday and just really confuse people.
You know,
and it came down to the fact that somebody high up didn't get the show.
You know what's weird? Uh-oh. Now I'm hearing myself
in an echo. That's got to be me. That's got to be from my end.
All right. Well, stop it, would you? Is that you doing an impersonation of me, or is that me actually hearing my echo?
Well, hold on. I'm gonna try a microphone here for a second.
Can you hear me?
Hey, Drew. Are you getting paid for tonight? You shouldn't get paid. I hate to say that, but you really...
Can you hear me now?
I can... Yeah, that's good. That's perfect. Actually, if you do me a favor, put your head between the pillow and the sofa. Will you just slide your head in like you're looking for change? Is there a sofa in the studio?
What?
Yeah, put your head in there.
Were you a friend of Bob's?
Oh, we played volleyball together a few years.
What are we listening to, Anderson? What has happened? Where was I?
I have no idea what that was. I have no idea.
You don't know what that was? I thought it was one of your bad drops that no one gets. Sorry,
yeah, that was not a drop.
Okay. All right. Maybe we should hear the Dr. Drew shuffle or boogie or something. All right, don't worry about that, Anderson. I got bigger plans. I got bigger fish to fry. Let me say this about the networks. It seems like there's certain shows that they give a little too much leeway to that they should cancel or should have canceled, you know, 3 seasons ago, but seem to go on.
Like Caroline in the City.
Oh, my God, that flaming wreck of a show. Like, I have no idea. It seemed like Caroline in the City was a sitcom that would be on if you were doing a movie and the guy had to watch TV. It was like not even its own sitcom. It's like a sitcom that would be in the background if we were doing a movie and we had to have an argument while the TV was on in the background.
But it had like a 7-year run.
I know.
It was on almost as long as Cheers.
It's weird. I know. As long as the Beatles were together, longer than the Beatles were together, as Caroline and City was on, and nobody knew and nobody cared. And then their show. So it's weird. It's like,
but it still was touted as must see TV.
It was horrible.
The ads for that show, the ad campaign for that show, was so brilliant too, because they were always trying to fix up. What's her name? Leah Thompson?
Right.
With that guy on the show who I always thought was gay.
Right. Glasses guy?
Yeah. But every ad was like, will Richard and Caroline ever get together?
Yeah.
And I remember sitting with my friend's ex-girlfriend, and she said, gosh, I just wish they would kiss. And I looked right at her and started laughing, and she was so serious, and right then I knew we couldn't be friends.
Yeah, well, it's always funny when they do a campaign, they go, will and Caroline get together? And you're like, who's that? I never heard of these people. So that show makes it for 7 glorious seasons.
Yeah.
And it somehow it's like the Family Guy is
we filmed almost 2 seasons completely in a vacuum without a time slot, without an air date. We just recorded episodes and they were animated and then they sat.
Yeah.
Yeah, very strange.
It's weird. It's like it's like they put their jeweler's loop in and examine every flaw in this show, and meanwhile these other shows just slide right under the radar and keep going. All right, well, I was in a couple of episodes, and as a matter of fact, I was in one that Drew was talking about last time I saw him and how much he loved it. He just didn't mention the part about me being in it.
That one bit, though, where is it the blackout where Death gets drunk?
Well, I
remember that bit.
I'm Death a few times.
But do you remember that
it?
Bit where Death gets into the behind the wheel of a car and he's like, all right, get it together, buddy.
Yeah, Death's talking to himself. He's driving his VW. All right, Drew, are you there, or did you put your head between the pillows? I can hear you.
All right.
I'm a rapist.
Oh, hold on. True.
Wait, there we go.
True, the mic's hot, buddy. I don't know who you're talking to in the studio. I don't know if you have to declare that kind of stuff in Canada, but we can hear you, buddy.
We'll be right back.
Do you hear me on the mic or do you hear me on the phone?
We're gonna take a break. Drew.
Mercifully.
Yeah. I want you to reevaluate your entire situation, okay?
Don't worry, I will.
That includes everything from your position on certain topics to your life in general, okay?
The gubernatorial race, everything.
Thank you. Yeah. Seth Green in here tonight. Party Monster, name of the movie, coming out this Friday, and we'll be right back after this. Line. I'm Adam. Dr. Drew is over in Canada. Seth
Can you
Green.
Hear me? Can you
wow.
hear me?
Yes, we can.
Deliverance.
Drew, you're on a microphone?
Yes, I am.
All right. Good times there, buddy. Yeah. Party Monster is the name of Seth Green's new movie. It is coming out this Friday, and it is in limited release, but if you're in a city that has some street lights, possibly a trolley, maybe a whorehouse or two, it will be there. And then it'll be a wider release if the people who hear me in the bigger cities go and support it. So that's the plan. You guys are responsible for the people in the podunk towns seeing these movies, right?
Yeah.
All right.
I blame you.
Well, we'll blame them if it doesn't work out. And believe me, you don't want to piss Seth off. He's 5 foot. 5 1/2 of just
fury. No, you're exaggerating.
5 foot 5 fury. He's 4'9 of fury. Bruce Lee weighed 135 pounds. Seth, that's what Seth comes in at.
Man,
and
roughly.
Seth kicks as much ass as Bruce did, possibly more.
Hey, speaking of begging people to do things, I want people to buy my book, please.
Yeah, buy Drew's book, too.
Yes. It's been well received.
It has.
Number 18 on Amazon.
What's that, Drew?
We got all the way up to number 18 on Amazon.
Wow. That's awesome, Drew. Congratulations.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. I've been hearing good things.
It's a worthwhile book.
Well, all right.
Thank you.
Well, aren't you satisfied with being up to 18?
Yeah, I was. And the scary part about Amazon is 3 hours, 300 again.
Oh, really?
You know what I'm saying? You go out and talk about it, and boing, it springs up. And it's crazy how the sales are so dependent on particularly radio, interestingly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's rocking.
All right. Drew, your mic's effing up again, by the way. All right. Gotcha. Well, just nod your head if it's screwing up.
Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you cut in and out.
Yeah. We have mixed feelings about that.
Aww.
Sarah?
Hello?
You're 23?
Yeah.
Your husband's penis grew 1.5 inches?
Yeah. Like, I mean, he was a virgin when I met him.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he didn't have a big old thing or anything, but, like, it was kind of small, but it grew, like, 1.5 inches since we've been having sex a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Is he taking anything or using anything?
No! Like, he's never done any kind of drug or anything.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just proud, you know? It's standing, you know, like when people feel, you know,
like
feel
when
a sense
you exercise?
Of pride, their posture. Yeah, your posture gets better. You don't sit with your shoulders rolled over. You're feeling good about yourself. Your chin's up, you know? Maybe his penis is doing that. Sort of, you know, a virgin its whole existence. Now it's got something to crow about. Drew, shut up back there.
Now you can hear me.
Here's the only thing. I can only hear you when you're talking to your engineer. When you're talking on the air, we can't hear you. I hear you loud and clear when you're going, "Oh, Alex on the fritz, so you can't hear me."
All right, I'm just asking if she, like, traded the cow for some magic beans or something. But I believe that male's penis can grow dependent on their testosterone levels, and that things like sexual activity will change that. And so what she's saying is he was a virgin, he wasn't active, they became active, she noticed something. It's never been documented, but I believe this can be true.
That's quite a growth.
Okay,
inch and a half. Did you actually measure that, or is that kind of your estimation?
No, actually, I haven't, but, like, I just know, like, for sure, for a fact, like, it did.
Mm. For a fact, Adam, a woman telling you 1 1/2 inch.
No. 1 1/2 inch, for a fact, it grew.
No, women have no, they can't. I think my wife estimated my pool at, like, 8 feet once, and it's, like, 45 feet long. This is why they can't parallel park.
Well, give her a test. Give her a test. Ask her something that you know to be 1.5 inches, and see, or something, you know, a distance, and see if she can assess it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Did you measure your penis
All right. So we should try to think of stuff that, hold on, that I know the size of.
Right.
And see if she. Okay, this is never going to work, but I'll try this. All right, Sarah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your clitoris. How long? Because I happen to know. No. How high do you think the doorway is where your door is?
I don't know. What do you mean?
Just we're judging some distance.
That's why you can't talk to women about measurement. The doorway.
How wide is it?
We're trying to discern your ability to judge spatial relations.
Thank you.
I'm sorry?
Now, here's.
We're trying to see if you're qualified to measure.
Yes.
Your boyfriend's penis.
To judge an inch and a half.
What do you mean, like, the doorway? Like, I don't get what you're saying.
Okay, listen to me.
Okay.
Well, hey, what kind of car do you drive?
I can't drive.
Okay. All right.
What kind of bike do you
have? Hold on a second. Do you understand that everything is a dead end? That every road leads into a brick wall. Here's how it goes. Tell me how high your doorway is. How tall is your doorway? The answer to that, what do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? Next question, what kind of car do you drive? Answer, I can't drive. She's a 23-year-old woman calling from Ontario, California, I'm guessing, and she cannot drive a vehicle. Now, you have had a lot of DUIs. All right, sweetie.
Is this something that you're concerned?
A lot of DUIs.
Hang on. Is this something you're concerned about that's bothering you?
I just wanted to know why it happened. That's all.
Let me again state
testosterone.
Testosterone goes up when you're sexually active, and that may have done it.
Okay, now listen to me,
Sarah. But it's kind of the classic looking a gift horse in the mouth.
Right. Sarah. Let me ask you a quick question.
Okay, go ahead.
Just because I enjoy pain. Your doorway. That's the thing that your door goes into. Yes?
Okay.
How high do you think that is off the floor? The inside of your doorway.
I don't know.
It's like Phyllis Diller on the other line.
Jennifer, come here.
Rip Taylor's
on. Let Jennifer answer that question. She knows. Here.
She's not the one who guesstimated her. Okay.
Hello?
Listen, Jennifer.
Uh-huh.
Give the phone back to the retarded person on your left.
Okay, 1 second.
Oh, my
God. Oh, sure.
God knows what these chicks talk about. Listen, Stonehenge, I want you to tell me how tall that is.
I don't understand what you mean, though.
Like, oh, my God.
How many feet tall?
Listen, let me say this, too. I don't want engineer Michelle to get pissed off, but women are always outraged all the time that they only get 70 cents for every dollar we get. To me, that's way too much. It's way too much. They're grossly overpaid. 70 cents to my dollar is an outrage to me as a male. Women never know what you're talking about. They can't answer simple and basic questions. They're outraged. They get 70%. I'm outraged. It's over 40 cents to my dollar. I really am.
Maybe a Canadian newspaper will complain about you again now.
Thank you. Sarah.
Listen, you witch.
Listen to me.
Don't call me a witch. Listen. Okay.
You tell me how tall you estimate your doorway is, from the floor to the top where the door is.
Floor to what?
To the top of where the door is? Okay, my husband's standing here looking at me like I'm telling him they're listening to what you're asking me. My best friend's here.
Just guess.
We have no idea what the hell you're like. I don't understand.
How long? I don't understand.
Okay. The floor's where your feet go, right?
Okay, the floor.
That's your feet. All right.
Okay.
Now, the door is that flat thing that fills the space between the walls, and it has hinges and a knob on it. I want to know the distance from the floor to the top of the door. Go. Estimate.
Today, Junior?
Why is that funny?
It's funny because she's stupid and she's stalling for time.
I'm sorry?
Just give me an estimation on that height.
Oh my God!
Oh my God! Do you have a brain tumor? Like, are you considered retarded? Because I'm going to start being nice and feel sorry for you in a second.
How about you ask my friend and my husband the same question?
No. Now, see, Sarah. Let's backtrack. Let's go back to the mid-60s when we started this call. You told me that, wait a minute, you told me that your husband's penis grew an inch and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I wanted to check your ability to estimate distances in space.
Not your husband's, okay? Not your friend's. Not your husband, not your friend.
Not Jennifer's, and not the virgin with the 2.5-inch penis. I wanted to know your ability to do that. That's what I want to ascertain.
Okay.
All right? So I've asked you a simple question 13 times now, and you will not answer it. Just tell me the distance from the floor to the top of the door.
The door that you entered through to get into the room you're in.
That's
right. How many feet tall is that?
How many feet is that door?
In I thought you were talking about something right. Sexual before. Okay. I could answer that question. I would say approximately 7 feet.
Right. 7 feet.
All right. It's 6'8", so you're only 4 inches off. They tell your husband he did a nice job writing it down on that scratch paper. All right, I will see you hell.
Okay.
All right, I don't care about your stupid husband anymore. I'm done.
What's the testosterone levels?
Oh, who cares? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. My God, is she stupid. People, it's really, I talk to a chia pet, I get more answers.
Yeah.
People are horribly disappointing. Do you find that, Seth?
I'm always confused.
You're confused by how stupid everyone is.
I'm often confused by the answers that she thought that we were talking about something sexual,
right?
And that just leads me to believe that she wasn't necessarily paying attention.
All right. I'm sure she's a delight. How tall are you?
I'm like 5'12", almost 6.
That's one of my favorite love line answers. That is that's considered a legitimate love line answer. And most of the people that are listening to the show right now are confused as to why we're laughing at that answer.
Almost 6.
He's almost 6.
The doctor says
that if he keeps drinking milk and eating cheese, that he can get from 5'12 to 6 in the next 6 months.
That is impossible.
Yes, true?
Yes.
Yes. But if you read Drew's book, Cracked,
that's right.
You will become enlightened as well.
That's true.
All right. Let's talk to Bobby, who's 25. Bobby?
Hi.
Oh, Bobby the chick. What's up?
Well, I had gastric bypass about a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really had any problems. So a few months ago, I started getting dizzy and real shaky. And I checked my blood pressure, all that, and everything was okay.
How much weight did you lose? How fast?
I lost 190 pounds so far.
Over what period of time?
About a year and 4 months. The last few months I've been losing.
And how much, what's your goal? How much do you intend to lose?
I want to lose about 60 more.
60 more, 250 pounds.
Right.
Wow. Three Seth Greens.
Right.
Yeah.
And what were you? Were you like 400 pounds?
394. Yes.
And, so surgery, she's 190 pounds in, 14, 16 months, something like that?
Yeah.
All right, have you had your labs checked recently?
Well, no, because, my insurance doesn't kick in until October.
Well, I think it might be worth just at least investing in an electrolyte panel.
Okay.
And a liver panel, too.
Well, because my blood sugars, they go down to about 39. And that's what my concern was. And then, say I'll drink a glass of juice, and it'll go back up, but it'll go to, like, 170.
Yeah.
And then it'll go back down to, like, 40.
Were you diabetic before?
No. I never had any problems before with my blood sugars.
What's a normal day like for you eating, and how tall do you think your door is? And can you fit through it?
Well, no, I can eat.
Okay. You get up in the morning, you have breakfast?
Yeah.
And are you able just not to eat that much?
My stomach stretched out over time, so now I can eat, like, almost normally. I can almost finish, like, save the same amount as with, like, a kid's meal.
Mm-hmm. And so what was it like? I mean, when you were 400 pounds, it would just take a ton to fill you up, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, let's just talk pizza, because it's quantifiable.
Uh-huh.
Like, when you were 400 pounds, you could polish off a large pizza and not feel like you were completely full, right?
Probably half a one.
Half a one?
Yeah. I can eat half a pizza.
Yes, Seth.
I mean, yeah. It's totally different now. But
yeah. No, I know, but you see how nothing is gratifying on the show?
I know. We're not going anywhere.
What was the question? She's concerned about her health because she lost so much weight so quickly.
She's asking about the gym.
I'm concerned about my blood sugars going up and down so much. I mean, is that a symptom of dumping syndrome?
Are you dumping? Do you dump?
What's dump?
Dump is you have diarrhea after you eat, basically. You have this abdominal pain and a things kind of move through rather quickly.
Sometimes, but sometimes the only thing I get is shaky and kind of...
Well, this all can be dumping, yes. This whole thing could be dumping. But listen, I mean, impossible for me to, without a bunch of lab tests, to be able to speculate about what's going on here. I mean, you've had a major surgery. You've had a massive change in the biology of your body. Naturally enough, you'd have some symptoms. And whether or not the blood sugar is the sole issue or even the primary issue, I have no idea. But, you should, I think it's worth your while in terms of safety just to invest a little bit of money in getting some lab work done.
Right.
And at least maybe calling your surgeon. How about just getting the guy on the phone that did the surgery and saying, here's what I'm experiencing. Is this unusual? Anything I should be doing? All right?
Right.
All right. And okay. One more, just because I have to. I can't help it. But I'm trying to get some perspective on this because it's a popular surgery now that everyone's talking about and a lot of people are doing it, and there's probably people listening who are interested in doing it.
Mm-hmm.
When you're 400 pounds, you could eat a whole pizza, right?
Sure, yeah.
You could?
Maybe not a large pizza. I don't know.
Pizza wasn't something you were really interested in.
You could eat a lot?
Yeah.
All right. But you would never just agree with me that you could eat a whole pizza when you're 400 pounds.
Maybe. I don't know. No, not a whole pizza.
What did you like to eat?
All right. So now you could eat less, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. See, everybody? See how that goes? That's what you call redemption, kids.
This is the weirdest night of all time.
I know.
Seth, congratulations for being here on this night.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, it's always strange when I come out.
Not like this. The wheels off the wagon, as Adam was saying, with us being dragged behind, everything catching on fire, too.
Flames in front of us.
Yeah.
It's only getting worse, the wind picking up.
I know. I was really, here's what I was shooting for. Because we always hear this like, oh, man, when I was a big guy, I could eat a ton, and I got this surgery, and now I can't eat so much.
Right.
You know, but what I was looking for is like, yeah, when I was 400 pounds and morbidly obese, I could polish off a pizza, no problem, and now I have two slices, and I feel
slice,
like I'm going to throw one slice. That's the kind of message I'll just have to do it myself. Yeah. First I got to balloon up to 400, then I got to get the gastric bypass so I can come on and do a testimonial
on
the show.
We'll still be here.
Yeah. Why she couldn't just agree she could eat a pizza when she was 400 pounds, and then it would just waffle, you know? She'd probably eat a waffle, too.
She probably just didn't eat pizza. She probably liked cake or something.
I know, but no one even knows where we're heading. I've done it. I washed my hands with this entire show. I knew it was a mistake coming back. I really did. I had an eerie feeling driving in, like I shouldn't be going back there. This is bad.
And you survived a hurricane, so.
I survived a hurricane in Mexico, only to return to this, bro.
We had a long talk about that, didn't we, while I was standing in the Washington, D.C. airport.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you call me on my cell phone a week ago?
I was worried about you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. You completely missed that, though. And we went on to talk about the kind of people that run businesses in Cabo San Lucas. Remember that?
Yeah. That's right. Fugitives and felons.
That's right. Adam.
Well, Drew called to see if I was okay because he heard there's a hurricane where I was. And I wasn't interested in I don't need a sympathy. I said I was fine, and now I got to start harping on people. So really, that's I'm good, right, Drew? I start the harping.
Yeah, that's right. You're all right.
Katie.
Yes.
You're 21.
Yeah.
Hypothetically, if you're 400 pounds, do you think you could eat a whole pizza?
I could probably eat two.
Yeah. See, there you go. I'm 195 pounds. I can put a pizza down. You give me half a joint, I'll put that pizza down. Go ahead, Katie.
I'm 125 pounds, and I can eat a half of a large pizza. So
that's
how tall are you?
I'm 21. I'll be turning 20.
No, 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 no. She should put out a video, Adam, a video on how to eat pizza and stay in shape.
Well, I'm hyperactive.
Good. That's right. How tall are you, Katie?
5'3"
5'3".
5'3", 120. That's fair.
That's solid. All right, so what's up, baby doll? You have a question for Seth?
Yes, I do. Seth, I was wondering how a person can get into the acting field. Like, what steps I could take to do that.
Where are you?
You got to lose 70 pounds first off.
Arizona?
Yeah.
You know, there's probably a billion different possible routes in, and I'm not an authority on the subject because I started when I was 7, going on auditions from Philadelphia to New York, and was really lucky and just kind of kept at it. But, you know, plenty of people get into the unions by doing extra work and answering searches. And the best thing that I can tell you is that no agent or manager worth their reputation is going to charge you until you actually earn for them. So anybody who's saying, you know, any money other than headshots or some kind of demo reel is...
Yeah, that was also part of my question, because I've, like, gone to agencies and...
Boring! Like, oh, wow. Please.
Say that again?
Please, Homer. You've gone to agencies, and what happened?
If you lay down $250, we'll get your headshots and stuff like that.
But that's probably fair, because, you know, most professional photographers will charge you that for a couple rolls of film, and then you'll sort through those and have your headshots, and that's what the agent can use to send you out on auditions.
Okay.
But...
Hey, but listen, what are you good at? Why do you want to be an actress?
Well, I think I was born for it. I've been on stage for like half my life, theater, and whenever I watch movies or anything, I just know I'm supposed to be there.
Well, I never object to that sentiment, but Arizona's probably not the best place.
I do. I think it's retarded. I think it's just pure narcissism.
Well, there's a couple of good hubs where there's a lot of entertainment activity. You know, New York and Los Angeles both have lots of stuff going on.
What about Flagstaff?
I hear there's some action there.
Yeah.
It's picking up. But, you know,
Katie, come out to L.A.
If I had the money, I would.
All right. Well, really, what's it cost you to get out here?
It's not the cost, though. It's the, like, living out here. It's the maintenance of it.
I'll give you a little training for when you get out here. Yeah, could I have some Tabasco for my hash browns? Thank you. Thanks, sweetie. All right, Katie?
Yeah.
Yeah, just do stuff. Just go get in a play. You got any plays over there?
Yeah.
All right, go do that. Look, I'm just tired of people who think they belong on TV because they watch TV.
What?
Please, Seth does too. He doesn't need this competition. You're going to be going after the same roles Seth Green will be going after. He doesn't need that kind of competition. Listen, I really think that 90% of people think they're born to act but don't actually do any acting. They just want to know how to make it. Need to just go do something. Just go get in a theater group, get on stage, get in a play.
It's such a tough thing because there isn't really any formula for success, and some people that... you see that should never be successful become very successful, and then people who have a tremendous amount of talent can't get work. It's kind of a crapshoot in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Now, it is a crapshoot, but not as big a crapshoot as you think. I mean, you're a talented guy. That's what keeps you working.
I also work really hard, and I've been doing it for a long time, and I learned from the mistakes that I've made.
Yeah, and I mean, you may have gotten started because your mom carted you from Philly to New York, but... there's plenty of guys who did a few things when they were 9 and 10 years old and were never heard of from again. And you have talent. You work hard at it. You apply yourself.
I've been in the right place at the right time many a time.
I don't think it takes much more luck than many professions that people excel at. It's
just
you got
to be prepared. You know, when the opportunity arises.
But I mean, the bottom line with TV or movies or whatever is there's a whole bunch of people that want to do it and just a couple of chairs open that you get to sit in, and you got to be that much better or know somebody. And seeing as how you don't know anybody, then you got to be that much better. What?
Well, you blow somebody. It's the other way to do it, too.
Oh, what I say? No?
Yeah.
No, I meant to say blow.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I keep screwing up that way. All right. We're going to take a Blake. All right, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew in Canada.
Yeah.
Doing an Olsen Twins movie. Drew, when are you coming back in town?
Saturday.
Are you going to be all done with the movie?
No, I got to go back in a couple more weeks after that.
How's it going?
It's fun. It's good. I flew up with Jack Osborne today. He's in it, too.
Oh, is he? How's he doing?
Good. He's doing really well, as a matter of fact.
Good.
And it's been a delight so far. So, no complaints.
No complaints.
You getting a lot of strange questions about those girls?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Are they total pros, Drew?
They're pro. My thing, two things about them I tell people. One is they work their butts off. They're just like maybe too much. They work so damn hard. And then every day on the set when I was there, they'd finish their 10 hours, and then they'd get off, spend 2 hours with a new kid every day from Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
All right. Not just doing what? What they
not
do
like
with
Seth.
The
kid. They get Seth does blow off prostitutes' bellies and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, that's
what,
Seth's thing.
What do I do?
You do blow. You do coke off hookers' bellies.
Oh, yeah. No, that's old news.
There's a question for Seth over here. Aaron.
Yeah.
What's up?
I wanted to know if they're making any new Family Guy episodes since they're being re-aired on Cartoon Network.
There is very loose talk that is completely unconfirmed about the possibility of producing new episodes just for Cartoon Network.
Okay. And I was wondering if you could do the Chris voice.
It's not something that I do on the radio.
I love that, Chris. And nobody could look less like Chris than Seth Green, and that's why it's perfect. I love Chris. Oh, the other night, Stewie was doing that thing where that Fantastic Voyage thing. Where
God, that was so funny.
The Interspace thing.
I was explaining to my kids. I was like, this is like a movie from the 60s. And they're like, ha ha, look, there's two balls.
Yeah, he was going inside trying to kill the sperm. Yes. Oh, it was an awesome episode. Love that goddamn show. All right, so let's talk to... Oh, and then the other one, I guess the last one I saw is where Chris had the huge penis.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a solid one,
such
too.
Such a silly episode.
He's so
Peter
confused
gets very jealous
by it. All right, let's talk to Cherith.
Hello?
Is it Cherith?
Yeah, it's Cherith.
Oh, everyone just sounds like they're trying to say cherish, but they went to the dentist that morning.
Well, it's a Hebrew name.
What does it mean?
It means cutting or slaying.
Oh, boy. That's quaint, sweet.
Well, my dad is, like, hardcore Christian. He's crazy.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's a hardcore Christian who gave you a Hebrew name.
Yeah, it's because the Old Testament was written in Hebrew.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, here's the whole thing. When do you become mentally unstable as a religious person? Like, when you're talking to God, when you're playing pinochle with God, when you actually wrestle God.
When you call him to pick you up at the airport or help you move.
Yeah, it's like, here's the great thing about our society. You think you're Napoleon? You're insane. You have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? No problem at all. You're president. You're president. Jesus Christ, your dad's nuts.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, good. As long as you know that.
Yeah, I'm perfectly aware of that.
And I look at what he does to you as a form of child abuse, by the way.
Oh, I totally understand and agree.
Oh, okay, good. Maybe we'll get married. We'll have some atheist kids. Like one agnostic, but we'll break them. Okay. All right, Cherith, so what's up?
Yeah, I have known this guy since I was 13, and I'm 17 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been dating on and off for that long, and he recently he cheated on me, like, with a guy.
Nope.
Yeah, and he said that he was experimenting, and I told him that I would totally let it go and I would forget about it and we could just move on with
he's
our relationship.
Gay. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then he told me, like, a couple weeks after I told him let's forget about it and move on, he's like, we need to take time off, and we need to, like, he basically broke up with me.
All right.
Good.
Yeah. Let me explain.
Yeah, but that's okay.
As a teenage boy, here's how you experiment. You take a few Coke cans, you tape them together, you put a tennis ball in it, you dump some gas, you air it out, and you light it on fire, and it shoots a tennis ball out. It's called a Polish cannon.
Great experiment.
That's experimentation when you're a teenage guy, not blowing other guys.
Now, experiment with males, young males, experimentation never involves another male's penis.
No, that just means you're bi or gay.
Or bye-bye.
Or you're saying bye-bye to bi, and you're gay. Hello to homo. Thank you, Drew. So, Cherith, and he broke up with you anyway.
Yeah.
Which is fine. That's fine. That's the right thing. Yeah, it is the right thing.
And it says in Corinthians 5 that man should not lay down with other men. And
Well, are you? I mean, are you concerned? Are you concerned that you've done something, or that this somehow reflects on you?
I am like totally and completely obsessed with this guy, and I don't know what to do about it.
Well, you've been with him since you were 13, right?
Well, yeah, and I mean, I've dated other guys and done stuff with other guys, but I just can't seem to escape.
How long ago did you break up?
In the middle of July.
So nearly 2 months ago, huh? Boy, it's going to be tough. Some of you have been with that long. You've got what you call an abusive relationship with your father, or at least dad's, as you say, crazy.
What's your dad doing now?
Well, he quit his ministry or whatever. Mm-hmm. He is a glazer. He does glass work.
All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Indeed. And so he's doing glazing, so everything's working out for him. And he quit his ministry. And where's your mom? Is she around?
Well, okay, I don't live with my dad. I live with my mom and my stepdad. And my mom is, my stepdad is like a hardcore Buddhist guy.
Oh, he's a Buddhist.
Yeah, and my mom is like atheist.
Oh. All right, sounds great. You got to go far away to some lesbian college, you understand?
Okay.
That's going to be your plan. You're in Iowa, right?
Yeah, I'm in Iowa.
Oh, boy.
You got the only Buddhist in Iowa living under your roof.
Wow.
Okay,
but listen,
get your grades up and go away to college and then do what I do. Pretend like you don't know your parents.
It's going
to
take
once in a while I run into them, like, huh? Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Didn't we go, weren't we, did we play Little League? My dad's like, no, I'm 70. I'm your dad. I'm like, right. Yeah. Well, anyway.
I thought you looked familiar.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Yeah. Did you come to this market, too? Okay. All right. And that's who? That's mom? Mom's? Mom. Oh, okay. What, did we, from high school? Or? So just pretend like you don't know your parents after you go away to college.
At least you don't give your dad
college,
that.
Right?
Oh, dude. Yeah, dude. Great.
Dude, yeah. Well,
did we give her any useful advice?
No. Listen, I want to give her some advice. And that is that it's going to take her a good 6 months minimum to get over this guy. In the meantime, go ahead and date other guys, but don't get too involved with them. You're going to be using guys as a way of trying to escape your feelings about this other guy and get yourself hurt even more, drive you back towards him. Just take it easy. Take it easy for a good 6 months. It's going to be painful. You will get through it.
July is a bad breakup month, too. Middle summer, dog days, hot.
But Aquarius is in the moon of...
This may sound silly, but she also shouldn't take it personally.
You know
what I mean? Or think that she's done something or that it somehow reflects on her if he's...
Right.
You know...
If he's gay. No, right. That's him, and she just didn't know it. And it's no surprise that she would pick a guy that maybe wasn't so available because her dad wasn't so available.
Well, he's a foot soldier of the Lord. He's busy.
Glazer.
Zach?
Yeah.
Glazing. It's glazing for God. Ironically, no glazing, no putty in stained glass. Zach, you're 20. What's up?
I've been dating this girl for about 2 or 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I met her in college, and everything's been going good. And then I finally got around to asking her age the other day. Turns out she's 15.
Wait, what?
I think
what
he said age the other day and turned it into one word. One
finally got up to asking your age the other day. And she is going to college? Wait, she's going to college with you?
Yeah, she graduated at 13.
Ooh. You like them Asian chicks, huh?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Is she Asian?
No.
Indian?
How long have you guys
she's got to have some wacky nationality to graduate at 13.
Yeah, she's skipped from first to fourth.
How long have you guys been seeing each other?
About 2 or 3 months. Known each other for a couple months before that.
I'm just confused, and forgive me for this, but how do you not ask someone their age in the first few months of knowing them?
Well, I just assumed she was 18 or 19, and I was thinking about it, and she kind of was avoiding the question and never really pressed it too hard.
But does she that look is, a certain way?
Yeah, but hold on a second.
Bogus.
Bogus.
Yeah, it's bogus.
You don't just assume someone's 18 or 19. Like, first off... Now, when you're 35, you don't ask people how old they are because it's almost rude. But when you're 18, that's the only thing you have to talk about. Like, that's all you do. How old are you? And you'll ask, like, 6 times on the first date. Won't be like, oh, we were together for a year and I just never had a chance to ask.
I don't get it.
Well, it also wouldn't be, I didn't press it very hard. We didn't press, what does that mean? It's a court of law here, we didn't press the issue? It's like, come on.
Drew, what are you doing, socking your microphone?
Yeah, I had to get one in tonight, yeah.
All right, listen, Zach, we're deeming this bogus.
Nuts.
Yeah.
Nuts.
Tell you the truth, this happened a year ago. I'm just kind of curious. I've been dating her for a year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me just let's just get something straight. She skipped from the first grade to the fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Yet,
true. That one was by accident. The other one's by purpose.
True. Just don't sock the microphone. What do I got to do? Put a post-it?
I've had several people stop me. Listen, I was talking to people, and they go, "What is Adam talking about with the socking the mic?" They don't understand what you're. They don't have an image of how we what we sit in front of here. So they don't even understand what you're talking about.
They don't listen to the show if they can't
they
hear
really,
you smacking
they don't really
the mic
hear
on
that.
A nightly.
Yeah.
No, what do you mean they don't hear it?
Here, this is the sound. That's the sound of the mic being hit.
Yeah,
my flipper.
Okay, let me ask you this, Drew.
Yeah.
You know the reason why we're talking about you socking the microphone?
Yes, because I do it every night.
Because you did it 20 seconds ago. That's
yes.
why we're
no,
talking
no,
about it. Don't tell me you can't hear it. What, have I got a video camera of you?
No, no, you can hear it. I know it bothers you, but other people don't know the sound they're hearing. They don't understand what they're hearing. You know what I'm saying?
But hang on all a right. second. So this guy's been dating a 15-year-old right. for a year now.
Yes.
You see what happens when you sock the microphone, Drew?
Yes, gets everything off track.
I don't know how you do radio for 20 years and punch the microphone every night. I don't know how you do it.
I don't either. It's uncanny.
I was cleaning carpet 10 minutes ago. I figured out you don't punch the microphone. What are you doing? How do you whack the mic? It's in front of you. Don't touch it. Drew, do you like if you're using a pencil, do you jam it into your eye? Or are you able not to do that?
I'm able not to do that.
All right. Let's apply that same concentration toward not punching the microphone. Thank you. Zach,
mm-hmm.
How can we help you, buddy?
A year with the 15-year-old.
Right.
So she's 16 now or 17?
About to turn 17.
And you're how old?
22 now.
All right. And you guys are still? Are you still going to the same college she is?
She moved a couple miles away, but pretty much.
Mm-hmm. What?
She moved. Is she still going to the college?
She's still going to a college. I'm still going to that college.
All right, I don't like Zach. It's like, look, are you guys still going to the same college? She moved a couple miles away. Are you guys still going to the same college? She's going to a college. Dick.
But he's an idiot.
Just blow me, all you idiots. What is this? We just drag you into we just drag you downtown and we're questioning you? I'm just trying to figure out if she's going to the same goddamn college you are, you prick.
What was the question? Whether
who cares? Arrest Zach, everybody. Yeah. She's going to a college. Jesus Christ, you got to ring everyone like a effing bar rag to get anything out of them? Okay, they skipped her. They could not skip her vagina ahead in time. They only skipped her brain. That's the problem. And really, what's the wisdom of taking a kid out of the first grade and putting him into the fourth grade? Doesn't it seem kind of weird?
Yes, it does.
Like, look, here's the deal. If you're really smart and you're in the first grade, then you get to be the smartest kid in the second grade when you
right.
go to the second grade the next year. We don't just put your scrawny 9-year-old body into an adult world. It just seems bizarre.
When
and
I
look,
was in Chicago last week, listen, there was a kid that was starting University of Chicago Medical School at like 13 or 14.
All right. Unless you're Asian.
But you're not.
If you're Asian,
really
it's all is forgiven.
Equipped to handle
it. No, I don't know. Yeah, no. They said he's going to a PhD program. No way he could do the clinical stuff. Just no way.
Yeah. What's he got to do? Like stand on a telephone book to
surgery?
Dissect a cadaver or something?
Yeah,
crazy. Why experience that at such a young age?
Well, it's like, okay, but, you know, they always
I saw a skull on Starsky and Hutch, and it freaked me out for like 5 years.
Oh, tell Seth the story about the guy with the head.
Oh, no. I don't
oh, yes. Come on. I told Jack the story.
What a lead-in.
We got to take a break, Drew.
Right, then tell him the story.
Tell him during the commercial.
All right. He'll like it.
All right. You practice. Get on your big heavy mic and work the body. Yes. Drew has a huge heavy bag that's painted like a microphone in his garage, and he works it every day. And then he goes on a smaller one that's a speed mic, works that. And then he has a double-ended mic that's for rhythm, where he times his head movement, works the jab off of that. And then he'll do a thing where he's doing sit-ups, and his trainer will hold like a big round mic and hit him in the belly each time he comes up like a medicine ball.
Sounds like it's really working.
It's Rocky. It's Rocky. Just replace Apollo Creed, put the microphone in there. That's what you got with Drew. All right, baby. Flying high now. You climb those stairs in Philadelphia. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew in Canada. Drew, I hate to ask, but Are your knuckles bloody, by the way, from punching the mic during the break? You don't sound out of breath.
No, I had them taped real good.
Okay, tape them up. Yeah. Good. Dropkick Murphys in here tomorrow night. Seth Green in here tonight. Party Monster, name of the new movie coming out this Friday in a limited release, but it'll be in all the big cities. Drew, are you on tomorrow night?
I don't think so.
Oh, thank Christ. Really, buddy? Who's in here? We have like a vagina doctor, Dr. Bruce, yeah. Han, whoever it is will be here. A boob doctor. Who's in here, Ann? Is it, all right, she's, Ann's telling me. Maybe it's Dr. Bruce or Dr., what the hell's his name? Who's in? Ohad. Oh, okay. I said that, and then she did a weird boob thing with her hands. Like, I was like, is it Ohad? And she went like she's doing, like, big boobs. And I was like, oh.
Hey, guys.
All right. Yeah, what's up there,
Can bud? I just say that I saw a trailer for this Party Monster, and it looks amazing. It looks really, really good.
Oh, thanks.
And Anderson, you're a film major, yes?
Oh, yeah, I'm a film guy, yes. And it looks, I can't wait to see it. Macaulay Culkin looks very impressive. Of course, Seth looks solid.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I saw The Italian Job today. Seth was great. I know it was a couple months late, but enjoyed it.
That was filmed in my neighborhood.
That's what that's what I was telling.
Sorry about the traffic.
Yeah, they drove the Mini Coopers through there and everything.
It was long. I thankfully wasn't working for any of that stuff. I was off for like a month making the movie while they were blocking everybody's traffic.
Oh, man, it was great. Great stunts. Great driving stunts. All right, I'm going to just go through these calls. We'll power through them, and we'll just go by who's been on hold the longest, which is always the kiss of death. Scott?
Yeah?
You're 19. You grew up believing porn would destroy your life.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
well, basically, ever since I was really young, you know, people in my community would sit me down and tell me that pornography was going to, like, turn me into some kind of monster.
Right, you're calling from Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
And now you enjoy pornography and it hasn't destroyed your life?
Yeah.
Okay, well, so fine.
Well, my parents found out about it recently, and it's kind of, all of a sudden now, they're totally convinced that it's going to destroy me, and it's never been a problem for me before, but they're using the word addiction, so.
What
porn are you watching?
Yeah.
What?
How much porn are you watching?
Oh, not much. Like three times a week or something, like 15 minutes, 45 minutes.
Are you on the web or what are you doing?
Yeah, pretty much the web.
All right. Do you live at home?
No, not anymore.
Okay. So why do your parents know about what kind of porn you're watching when you don't live at home?
Yeah, that was a couple months ago. They just found some stuff. I had a file cooked up, but I decided not to use it.
Like who are you guys into? What are you, Jehovah's Witness or something? Mormon?
Yeah, Mormon.
What are you Mormons into? You into God?
Yeah.
Who's the main Mormon? Who's the main guy?
It's a different big involved community thing.
Yeah, just tell whatever they need to know. You just tell them you're into that. All right, don't worry about it.
You're Mormon?
Fine. Yeah, he's Mormon. You got to be Mormon. He's a Salt Laker. He's fine. It's all good over there. There's no problems. Parents are a little concerned. That's all right. That's healthy. Matt?
Yep.
Yeah, it's good. It's fine. You're fine. You got no problems. You got no real problems. You want real problems, you go over to, like, Africa, somewhere like that. But you don't have any real problems, right?
I live in Utah.
Yeah, there you another go. One. Yeah, you're doing Utah. Good. Yeah, you want to know the best way to get rid of stretch marks?
Yeah, or if there's any way, I don't know.
Not really.
Not really. It's laser there are laser techniques, and there are surgical techniques, but that's really it.
Are you a big fella?
Not real. I mean, I weigh like 200 pounds, and when people hear that, they're like really surprised. Like, they don't think I look like I weigh that much. And
how tall are you?
Like 5'8", 5'9".
All
right. You a Mormon?
No.
You're not?
No.
Okay, good.
There's like three of us here that aren't, and
you're one of them.
Yeah, we're holding strong.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like it's the heretic with the stretch marks. Get him! All right, Matt, you're fine. No one cares. The only people that really care about stretch marks are the people that have them.
Yeah.
Like, I've dated guys that have had serious problems with everything a woman has to offer and never brought up stretch marks.
What did you just say?
I've dated guys. Sorry. Yeah. I've known guys. Thank you, Seth. I've known guys who have dated everybody, and they never have a problem with stretch marks.
Right.
And these are guys who love to complain about everything.
Right.
Never a problem. And I'd love to complain about everything. I've never had seen it or had a problem with it.
That's just one of those things that happens that no one really has any control over, and there's no real
there's no real cure for it. There's no creams or anything that do anything, and maybe you could have them cut out. But to me, they're fine. And, like, again, it's the people who have them who care. That everyone else doesn't seem to care. Right. All right, let's see. Let's talk to whoever's been on hold the longest. Kathy?
Hello.
You're 18.
Yes.
Yeah, you want to make a move on a guy without being obvious.
Yes.
Why not be obvious?
Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of scared. I've seriously have never done more than hold hands with a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's just, I've never told the guy that I've liked him. Mm-hmm.
Are you a Mormon? How old are you?
No. I'm 18. I've always been interested in guys, but I've never seen the point of actually dating, and now
Okay, do you have one guy in mind, right?
Yes.
Do you think this guy likes you?
Well, there's a lot of signs that my friends are telling me that
okay.
he likes me.
Why hasn't he asked you out if he likes you?
I don't know. Maybe
you're fat.
Oh, true. Please, please. All right. Listen, go ahead and ask him out. Here's the deal. Be as obvious as you want. If he likes you, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If he doesn't like you...
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Where did the time go?
Mercifully.
Yeah, it's like 5 hours. Like felt like three. I want to thank and apologize simultaneously to Seth Green for coming out here tonight.
I always have fun with you guys. I really do.
Well, then please come back whenever you like and as soon as possible.
Okay.
Party Monster, name of the movie. I've seen great reviews on it, and so is Engineer Anderson, so it can't be all bad. It's coming out this Friday. It's in limited release. Check your local listings, and if you're in a decent-sized town, you should be able to find it. Party Monster, Seth Green. Dropkick Murphy's in here tomorrow night with Dr. Ahad, the Vag Doctor. Drew, you give a big kiss to those Olsen twins for me. Until
on
next time.
I will.
Thank you.
Be this well, Drew. I'll see you soon.
Thanks, Seth.
This is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Ha ha, look, there's two balls. Ha ha.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.